ladies? If I sit right here, can you see me well? Yes? All right, you're gonna have to work with me here, because I might ask a lot of questions, and I would like you to respond. So if I sit here, can you see me well? Good job. Good. All right, I'll sit up tall, but I will not go on stage. How's everyone doing today? That's great. I loved seeing the fashion show. You all look so beautiful. Okay, so I'm going to talk today about what it takes to be happy. All right, so real quickly, just shout out. What do you think it takes to be happy? Love. That's a big one. Good state of mind. God, thank you. What else?
Happiness.
Yes. Why not? What else?
Kindness.
Kindness. I love that. Anyone else? Camping. Camping, camp. Yes. Why not? One thing that I would like to talk about, since most of us here are ladies, I want to talk a little, right? So, and I'm gonna try to make this really, really quick. There's a word that I have been exploring a lot and trying to figure out what it means, and that word is comfort. Now, as Christian Scientists, we know that we have this special gift of Christian Science, and the discoverer and founder of Christian Science tells us that Christian Science is the comforter that was promised to us by Jesus Christ, right? Do we all know that? Yes, okay, good. So, what is our role? Now, we have this comforter. What does that mean, first of all? Like, if you have the comforter, what does that mean? Should you be happy? Should that make you happy? Yes? I think so, right? Does everyone agree that it should make us happy? Show of hands if you think you should be super happy that you have the comforter. Yes, awesome. Okay, so we have the comforter. Now, what do you think is our role? You know, I have someone sitting next to me and I have the comforter. What do you think is my role? Yeah, I think so too. Right, and camp is a great place to learn how to share the comforter. Do you do that enough? Honestly, show of hands. Do you share the comforter? When you smile to someone, what do you think you're doing? Yeah? When you do that, what do you think you're doing? Okay, so I think the biggest message I want to give to you right now is you're never too little or too big to share the comforter. And there's nothing too big or too little for you to do in sharing this comforter. This is a great year to practice sharing the comforter because our theme for this year is what? That's great. How about giving that comforter, right? How about that? So I thought very hard about, okay, so what am I gonna talk about today about this comforter? What is it that I'm gonna say that's going to make this kind of meaningful to you all? And I thought about the one teaching that is the most meaningful to me about the comforter, like what I need to do, what I need to know about being happy. This is a teaching that I'm really, really excited about. And I thought hard about, are they going to enjoy it? Is it gonna be cool enough? And I thought, you know what? I think it's cool enough. I love it. I really, really love this. And Mary Baker Eddy, who I love dearly, says in her writings that if we read this teaching once every week without commentary, which means without like overthinking it, that we can be basically the best comforters to other people. We can be the best healers around, and we can do our job expressing God. Now, who might have a vague idea of what this teaching is? It's a teaching by Jesus, right? Sermon on the Mount, I hear it from somewhere else. So what I'm gonna do today, this might take a little bit of patience, but I tell you, this is like, for me, this is like the ultimate teaching. It is so exciting. So if you just be a little patient, listen, but I want you to please just share this with me and listen to this teaching of Jesus. And I have some friends that are gonna help me read this, and we're gonna take the time to just think of what it means. I'm not gonna say anything, no commentary. We're just gonna read how Jesus gave us the Sermon on the Mount. Think we can do that? And can we stay quiet and just listen, okay? All right, who's starting?
All right. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the side of a mountain and sat down. Jesus' disciples gathered around him, and he taught them, God blesses those who depend only on him. They belong to the kingdom of heaven. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble. The earth will belong to them. God blesses those who want to obey him more than to eat or drink. They will be given what they want. God blesses those who are merciful. They will be treated with mercy. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. God blesses those who make peace. They will be called his children. God blesses those people who are treated badly for doing right. They belong to the kingdom of heaven. God will bless you when people insult you, mistreat you, and tell you all kinds of evil lies about you because of me. Be happy and excited. You will have a great reward in heaven. People did these same things to the prophets who lived long ago. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth.
If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. You are like light for the whole world. A city built on top of a hill cannot be hidden, and no one would light a lamp and put it under a clay pot. A lamp is placed on a lampstand where it can give light to everyone in the house. Make your light shine so that others will see the good that you do and will praise your Father in heaven. You must obey God's commands better than the Pharisees and the teachers of the law obey them. If you don't, I promise that you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. You know that our ancestors were told, do not murder, and a murderer must be brought to trial. But I promise you that if you are angry with someone, you will have to stand trial. If you call someone a fool, you will be taken to court. And if you say that someone is worthless, you will be in danger of the fires of hell. So if you are about to place your gift on the altar and remember that someone is angry with you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Make peace with that person, then come back and offer your gift to God.
If your right hand causes you to sin, chop it off and throw it away. It is better to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And don't say anything you don't mean. This counsel is embedded deep in our traditions. You only make things worse when you lay down a smokescreen of pious talk saying, I'll pray for you, and never doing it, or saying, God be with you, and not meaning it. You don't make your words true by embellishing them with religious lace. In making your speech sound more religious, it becomes less true. Just say yes and no. When you manipulate words to get your own way, you go wrong. You have heard that it used to be said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, don't resist the man who wants to harm you. If a man hits your right cheek, turn the other one to him as well. If a man wants to sue you for your coat, let him have it, and your overcoat as well. If anybody forces you to go a mile with him, do more. Go 2 miles with him. Give to the man who asks anything from you, and don't turn away from the man who wants to borrow. You have heard that it used to be said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your heavenly Father. For he makes the sun rise upon evil men as well as good, and he sends his rain upon honest and dishonest men alike. For if you love only those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even tax collectors do that. And if you exchange greetings only with your own circle, are you doing anything exceptional? Even the pagans do that much. No, you are to be perfect, like your heavenly Father.
Watch out! Don't do your good deeds publicly, to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. And when you pray, don't rattle off long prayers like the pagans who think they will be heard because they use so many words. Don't be like them. After all, God, who is your Father, knows your needs before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And when you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Then no one will notice that you are fasting, except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Your eye is the lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. When your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can be loyal to two masters. He is bound to hate one and love the other, or support one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and the power of money at the same time. That is why I say to you, don't worry about living, wondering what you are going to eat or drink or what you are going to wear. Surely life is more important than food, and the body more important than the clothes you wear. Look at the birds in the sky. They never sow nor reap nor store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you much more valuable to him than they are? Can any of you, however much he worries, make himself an inch taller? And why do you worry about clothes? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They neither work nor weave, but I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory was never arrayed like one of those. Now, if God so clothes the flowers of the field, which are alive today and burnt in the stove tomorrow, is he not much more likely to clothe you, you little faiths?
So don't worry and don't keep saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? That is what pagans are always looking for. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. Wipe that ugly sneer off your own face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. Ask, and you will receive. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open for you. Everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who searches will find. And the door will be open for anyone who knocks. Would any of you give your hungry child a stone if the child asked for some bread? Would you give your child a snake if the child asked for a fish? As bad as you are, you still know how to give good gifts to your children, but your heavenly Father is even more ready to give good things to people who ask. Treat others as you want them to treat you. This is what the law and the prophets are all about.
Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. It is not everyone who keeps saying to me, Lord, Lord, who will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the man who actually does my heavenly Father's will. In that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we preach in your name? Didn't we cast out devils in your name and do many great things in your name? Then I shall tell them plainly, I have never known you. Go away from me. You have worked on the side of evil. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowd was astonished at the power behind his teaching, for his words had the ring of authority, quite unlike those of the scribes.
That was a lot, but I hope you get some nuggets from that. I'm sorry I'm not going to dance on stage like Jake does. That's a lot of fun, and we get that every day, but this is very serious stuff. And I hope that you take a lot of nuggets. If any one of you would like a copy of the Sermon on the Mount, I have a lot of them, and I can print out more. But I really wanted to share this with you because I love this teaching, and I try to read this once every week, like our leader Mary Berger Eddy says we should. And I always, always get new insights from it, and I hope you'll join me in doing that too. Now, just to close this all out, because I've talked again, can we all, because part of the Sermon on the Mount is the Lord's Prayer, so can you all join me in saying the Lord's Prayer? And I'm just done after that. All right, so, Our Father, thank you.